Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Everyone, this is ET, and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, we go inside episode 100. Delay is the deadliest form of denial. Those of you who listen to this episode know that it was an incredibly deep episode around one of our most intense themes on the show, and that is truth. So I've got David here with me. David, how you doing?
Doing great, T. How are you?
Very good. I'm so excited to be on the other side of 100 right now. This is all very exciting. Obviously, there's more that have come out after this, but this was the 100th episode.
Yeah, it really is exciting. It's
a big deal.
It's fantastic. It's really great. And I'm very, very pleased that so many people are getting so many positive results just based on the podcast alone. I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's huge. We can't go anywhere to one of our events or, some of the client meetings we host. The first thing they want to talk about is how the Successful Mind podcast has impacted them over the course of the last year or so. So this is very exciting. So we're just going to dive right into this episode here.
Right on.
You started off with the quote by C. North Cote Parkinson, delay is the deadliest form of denial. Now, you've referenced Parkinson in your teachings in the past, more specifically around Parkinson's law, which is work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion and all that. In this episode, you used a different quote and you talked about denial. And in this case, denial being the resistance of being, doing, or having. So you see this often in those you come into contact. The question I have is a very broad stroked question. Why is discomfort around those things so difficult to overcome for so many people?
Well, if we understand that one of the scariest things for the subconscious mind to try to navigate is the unknown, and we're, at least what we do, is we help people step into an unknown version of their life, something that they deeply want and desire, but it is unknown. So, if a person has a lot of history with the unknown being unsafe, then it becomes very difficult to step across that line. And that's where the idea of truth comes in. And I say as I'm speaking this, I want to give some acknowledgement to the idea that it's not just unsafe. Sometimes it's immoral. Sometimes it's unethical. Like, what are those things? What is immorality? What is something that's unethical? What is something that's not true? So, and people come from very different, there's a wide range of perspectives in life that people come from when they're trying to figure out these problems for their own life and to understand the world. And it can get, like I said, it can get really tangled really fast, and we can end up in the weeds with it. So for the individual, though, that's why I said in the podcast, like, don't look at the worldview, don't look at the governmental view, don't look at the religious view. Break it down to right now just for the you. I think because when a person begins to understand their own motivations for not stepping into the unknown, it's then the world itself becomes much more clear. But that, I mean, that's really the idea that in seeking out a higher truth in which to use our compass to begin to navigate life, is that we're trying to find some kind of certainty in the direction that we're actually going. Even if I found that, even if we have that, because I mean, here's the thing. I could say, I'm going to do this because this is true. And as I start to do it, still have problems, and most certainly will still have problems. But if I know that ultimate way of looking for the truth is a really good solid bearing and compass heading for life, then it gives me the guidance to navigate the problems along the way as I take that journey. So it made a huge difference for me. It's made a huge difference for our clients that have done really big, substantial things where they've had to take huge risks in their life and kind of put their ass on the line to be able to do something.
So where do risk takers come from? Are they born that way or are they nurtured that way? Is it all environment? Like, just give us an idea of where that risk taking mentality comes from.
Well, I think part of it is, I think there's some things that we know scientifically. Part of it is genetics and part of it is environmental conditioning as they grow up, kind of a risk and reward type thing. But so it's both. It's really both. And then, it then determines on, you know, what are their desires in life ultimately, what do they want to create, and the amount of risk or reward that they're willing to accept in order to do that.
Yeah, I would say for me, you know, I'm fairly risk averse. I've taken risks in my life, but I'm always looking for outside, you know, guidance rather than trusting my internal self. I know that that comes from patterns that were given to me from my childhood, because my parents typically aren't risk takers. Their parents weren't risk takers and so on. It would be interesting to see if I was in a different environment, what that would look like, because you see other people who grow up in, you know, high risk, high reward type environments, and you see how they're totally different. I'm not saying that what I went through wasn't great, but I do often see the nurturing aspect of what that would be like to be able to be a little bit more of a risk taker.
It's really interesting because there's empirical data on this where there have been twins that have been separated at birth and raised in two totally different environments, and the environmental conditioning will totally reshape the way that they view, see, and behave in the world.
Yeah, crazy, that Three Identical Strangers documentary. Oh my God.
It was wild,
it
right?
It blows my mind. You have to go out and watch that. It's a little sidebar there. It's fascinating. It's the whole nature versus nurture concept in real life. Not always the most ethical, but that's for another time. Great. So how do we stay out of other people's truth since we're constantly being inundated with it? Could you maybe provide our listeners with some specific strategies that help maybe you stay in your truth as you were growing your business?
Well, yeah, so I think the best way to do that, like the simplest answer that I can give a person to do that, the answer that's the most useful is to not take things personally. Don't take somebody else's problems, comments, situations, worldview, anything. Don't take it personally into your own life or your own way of thinking. Start to navigate this thing on your own first. And keep it at home. It's not just with people, it's with politics, it's with religion, it's with everything that's going on in the world, the news itself. We can get so sucked into that stuff. But what we find is that we get sucked into the things that we seem to have a personal attachment to. So if we can detach from those things and really do the work on ourselves first, it helps us. If we decide to re-engage, with those things at some level, it helps us keep our own bearing so that we can consider the opinions and the ideas and the problems that are going on without being attached to them to the point where they start to really destroy us or upset us emotionally or change the direction of what we want.
Yeah, and it's not something that you just learn and you've got it for life. This is a constant study. Even while you're listening to this, when you get off of this particular episode, you're going to be inundated with thousands of other things that are going to come into your field, whether it's social media, news, television, people driving down the street. I mean, you are constantly being surrounded by other people's truth. So it's kind of like working a muscle, I would think. You just have to continually be aware and vigilant that there's all this information coming at you and you need to be able to respond to it based on your truth, not on the truths of others. That's why triggers come up, right? People get triggered by other things that are going on around them, when if they just kind of let it flow, it wouldn't affect them as much.
Correct.
Yeah, totally. That's great. In the episode, you mentioned several laws, the perpetual law of transmutation, the law of cause and effect, the law of polarity. That brings us back to the very beginning of this show. Way back in episode 2, you did an episode called The Laws of the Universe. So for those of you who have come onto the show later, make sure you go back and listen to one of those very first ones that David dropped. You would probably tell us that there's a deeper understanding of these laws is crucial to growth, yes?
Yeah, correct.
So when you were growing your business and when you were growing into your own professional development, how did you use these laws to your benefit and really dive into the study of them?
So there were two main laws that I used most. One was the law of cause and effect, and the other one was the law of polarity. The biggest problem in when I started growing my business for me was that I was following an internal guidance that was saying, do this. Yet I had no evidence of how to do it or where it, like the business, the clients, all of that, where all of that was. I had no idea. So I had to hold that law up as the truth for myself, as something to follow. Like if I had the desire to do something, then those things must be here. My job is to now make the decision based on a cause and effect perspective is how to find those people. And then how to influence those people that I could actually help them or be a benefit to their life. And it's, you know, it's funny because in the beginning, when you're first getting started, generally what you're running into is all the evidence that they're not there, right? And a lot of it, but then if you go back to the question that I said, what are you resisting being, doing, or having? It shows you where to start to work on yourself to be able to navigate through that. So that's the way that I use those laws, that those are empirical, they're absolute, and that the results of those things must be here if I follow those laws.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Perfect. Well, so like we said at the beginning of this, this was episode 100, and that's a big deal for us here. And I know you're very proud of what you've created on this show. I know I'm extremely proud to be a part of it, and I know there's a lot of loyal listeners out there who are proud of it as well. How has this first 100 been for you personally?
Oh, I think it's been fantastic. I mean, you know, I've said before that I started off doing this. It was an idea that I've had for a while, and I just wanted to start doing it. There was no agenda behind it other than to put these my teachings and my ideas and start interviewing people that I find interesting out into the world. And just as a benefit, and because I really enjoy doing it, and it helps me grow, right? It keeps me studying deeper and deeper. It keeps me investigating other people and learning. So it's something that I enjoy very much, and it's been growth. Like I think that they're just getting better and better, and soon we'll be doing video, which will be fantastic. And we're going to start doing some long form podcasts, which will be fantastic. And it'll just keep growing. So it's been great, Brandon.
Yeah. It's the perfect platform for you too, because people can get a bite-sized piece of your teachings to go throughout and navigate this thing called life almost on a daily basis. We're releasing more and more content as we go on with this. And when we first started the show, we were a once a week, and we quickly evolved to much more than that. And that's because you never lack in content. And I think it's cool to go back and look at all the episodes that you've done up to this point, me personally, and see the evolution of you and who you're studying in the time. You have navigated that very well, and it's very exciting to think where this show is going to be in the next 100. So I think I would be remiss if I didn't pass along my gratitude for your work. And I'm sure that the listeners out there have that same gratitude for your work. Remember, if you've got some feedback or just want to say, hey, David, congratulations on the first 100, please be sure to send us an email at tsm@davidnagel.com, or we'd love to hear your wonderful buttery voice as well. Please go to speakpipe.com/davidnagel. And then we'll be able to get more from you, and then we can pass those along to David. So, David, episode 100 was fantastic. This was a great episode. I'm excited for the next 100 and beyond. Thanks so much for sticking with us, and can't wait to see
you. And thank you. Thank you for producing the show and doing such a great job with that and bringing the idea of inside the episode in. That was your idea.
Yeah, thank you so much. I love it. I enjoy sitting down. I get to sit here while we're in the studio and listen to you teach, and then we get to kind of have this back and forth. And that's sort of how I learn, when you have a back and forth conversation. And I think that's why your interviews are so well. And when we go to long form, it's going to be more of that. I appreciate you saying that. And I just know that the best is yet to come.
Fantastic.
So congratulations on 100.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.